All the others danced a foot behind us, and everybody sang what we were singing. When we reached the quarter of the west the fourth time, we stopped in new formation, facing inward toward the sacred teepee in the center of the village. First stood the virgins, next I stood upon the bay, and then the six grandfathers with eight riders on either side of them, the sorrels and the buckskin on their right hand, the blacks and the whites on their left. And when we stood so, the oldest of the grandfathers, he who was the spirit of the sky, cried out, "Let all the people be ready. He shall send a voice four times, and at the last voice you shall go forth and coo the sacred teepee, and who shall coo it first shall have new power." All the riders were eager for the charge, and even the horses seemed to understand, and they were rearing and trying to get away. Then I raised my hand and cried, "Hey, hey," four times, and at the fourth the riders all yelled, "Hoka hey," and charged upon the teepee. My horse plunged inward along with all the others, but many were ahead of me, and many cooed the teepee before I did. Then the horses were all rubbed down with sacred sage and led away, and we began going into the teepee to see what might have happened there while we were dancing. The grandfathers had sprinkled fresh soil on the nation's hoop that they had made in there with the red and black roads across it. And all around this little circle of the nation's hoop we saw the prints of tiny pony hoofs, as though the spirit horses had been dancing while we danced. Now Black Road, who had helped me to perform the dance, took the sacred pipe from the Virgin of the East. After filling it with the bark of the red willow, he lit and offered it to the powers of the world, sending a voice thus, "Grandfathers, you where the sun goes down, you of the sacred wind where the white giant lives, you where the day comes forth and the morning star, you where live the power to grow, you of the sky and you of the earth, wings of the air and four-leggeds of the world, behold, I myself with my horse nation have done what I was to do on earth. To all of you I offer this pipe, that my people may live." Then he smoked and passed the pipe. It went all over the village until everyone had smoked at least a puff. After the horse dance was over, it seemed that I was above the ground and did not touch it when I walked. I felt very happy, for I could see that my people were all happier. Many crowded round me and said that they or their relatives who had been feeling sick were well again, and these gave me many gifts. Even the horses seemed to be healthier and happier after the dance. The fear that was on me so long was gone, and when thunder clouds appeared I was always glad to see them, for they came as relatives now to visit me. Everything seemed good and beautiful now, and kind. Before this the medicine men would not talk to me, but now they would come to me and talk about my vision. From that time on, I always got up very early to see the rising of the daybreak star. People knew that I did this, and many would get up to see it with me, and when it came, we said, "Behold the star of understanding." Chapter 15. The Dog Vision. We stayed there near the mouth of the tongue until the end of the moon of making fat. Then the soldier chief told us that we could not be in that country because we had sold it and it was not ours anymore. We had not sold it, but the soldiers took all the rest of our horses from us and what guns we had and loaded us on a big fireboat that carried us down the Yellowstone to the Missouri to Fort Yates. There they unloaded us, and it was one of the new reservations they had made for the Lakota. Many of Sitting Bull's and Gall's people were there, but Gall and Sitting Bull were still in grandmother's land. These soldiers had taken the ponies away from all our people, and they said the great white father in Washington would pay us for them, but if he ever did, I have not heard of it. I learned that my own band, the Oglalas, had been taken back to the country where we are now, and I decided I ought to go there and perform my duty. So in the moon when the plums are scarlet, I started with three others. We had to go afoot, and we had only bows and arrows for weapons. The Brules had been taken to the place where they are now on Rosebud Creek, while I was in Grandmother's land, and we set out first for where they were, camping seven times on the way. One evening we crossed Smoky Earth River and camped on the south side. We camped by a plum thicket, and the plums were ripe. That is all we had to eat. There was a bluff close by, and I went up there alone and sat down with my face to where the sun was setting. It was a clear evening with no wind, and it seemed that everything was listening hard to hear something. While I was looking over there, I felt that somebody wanted to talk to me. So I stood and began to sing the first song of my vision, the one that the two spirits had sung to me. Behold, a sacred voice is calling you. All over the sky, a sacred voice is calling. While I was singing this song, suddenly the two men of my vision were coming again out of the sunset, head first like arrows slanting down. Then they were pointing at me with their bows. Then they stopped and stood, raising their bows above their heads and looking at me. They said nothing, but I could feel what they wanted. It was that I should do my duty among the Oglalas with the power they had brought me in the vision. I stood there singing to them, and after a while they turned round and went back into the sunset, head first like arrows flying. When I went back to our little camp by the plum thicket, the others there, who knew of my power and had heard me on the bluff, asked what I had seen up there. I told them I was only singing to some people I knew in the outer world. I stayed only a little while among the Brules on Rosebud Creek, and then I came on alone to White Clay Creek, where the Wasichus were building Pine Ridge Agency for the Oglalas. Our people called it the Seat of Red Cloud, or the place where everything is disputed. There I stayed, and that winter in the moon of popping trees I was 18 years old. That was a very hard winter, and it was just like one long night, with me lying awake, waiting and waiting and waiting for daybreak. For now the Thunder Beings were like relatives to me, and they had gone away when the frost came, and would not come back until the grasses showed their tender faces again. Without them I felt lost, and I was alone there among my people. Very few of them had seen the horse dance or knew anything about my vision and the power that it gave me. They seemed heavy, heavy and dark, and they could not know that they were heavy and dark. I could feel them like a great burden upon me, but when I would go all through my vision again, I loved the burden and felt pity for my people. And now when I look about me upon my people in despair, I feel like crying. And I wish and wish my vision could have been given to a man more worthy. I wonder why it came to me, a pitiful old man who could do nothing. Men and women and children I have cured of sickness with the power the vision gave me, but my nation I could not help. If a man or a woman or child dies, it does not matter long, for the nation lives on. It was the nation that was dying, and the vision was for the nation, but I have done nothing with it. When I was still young, I could feel the power all through me, and it seemed that with the whole outer world to help me, I could do anything. I had made a good start to fulfill my duty to the grandfathers, but I had much more to do, and so the winter was like a long night of waiting for the daybreak. When the grasses began to show their faces again, I was happy, for I could hear the Thunder Beings coming in the earth, and I could hear them saying, "It is time to do the work of your grandfathers." After the long winter of waiting, it was my first duty to go out lamenting. So after the first rainstorm, I began to get ready. When going out to lament, it is necessary to choose a wise old medicine man who is quiet and generous to help. He must fill and offer the pipe to the six powers and to the four-leggeds and the wings of the air, and he must go along to watch. There was a good and wise old medicine man by the name of Few Tails, who is glad to help me. First he told me to fast 4 days, and I could only have water during that time. Then, after he had offered the pipe, I had to purify myself in a sweat lodge, which he made with a willow bough set in the ground and bent down to make a round top. Over this we tied a bison robe. In the middle we put hot stones, and when I was in there, Few Tails poured water on the stones. I sang to the spirits while I was in there being purified. Then the old man rubbed me all over with sacred sage. He then braided my hair, and I was naked except that I had a bison robe to wrap round me while lamenting in the night, for although the days were warm, the nights were cold yet. All I carried was the sacred pipe. It is necessary to go far away from people to lament, so Few Tails and I started from Pine Ridge toward where we are now. We came to a high hill close to Grass Creek, which is just a little way west from here. There was nobody there but the old man and myself and the sky and the earth, but the place was full of people, for the spirits were there. The sun was almost setting when we came to the hill, and the old man helped me make the place where I was to stand. We went to the highest point of the hill and made the ground there sacred by spreading sage upon it. Then Few Tails set a flowering stick in the middle of the place, and on the west, the north, the east, and the south sides of it, he placed offerings of red willow bark tied into little bundles with sacred cloth. Few Tails now told me what I was to do, so that the spirits would hear me and make clear my next duty. I was to stand in the middle, crying and praying for understanding. Then I was to advance from the center to the quarter of the west to mourn there a while. Then I was to back up to the center, and from there approach the quarter of the north, wailing and praying there, and so on all around the circle. This I had to do all night long. It was time for me to begin lamenting, so Few Tails went away somewhere and left me there all alone on the hill with the spirits and the dying light. Standing in the center of the sacred place and facing the sunset, I began to cry, and while crying I had to say, "O Great Spirit, accept my offerings. O make me understand." And as I was crying and saying this, there soared a spotted eagle from the west and whistled shrill and sat upon a pine tree east of me. I walked backwards to the center, and from there approached the north, crying and saying, "O Great Spirit, accept my offerings and make me understand." Then a chicken hawk came hovering and stopped upon a bush towards the south. I walked backwards to the center once again, and from there approached the east, crying and asking the Great Spirit to help me understand, and there came a black swallow flying all around me, singing, and it stopped upon a bush not far away. Walking backwards to the center, I advanced to the south. Until now I had only been trying to weep, but now I really wept, and the tears ran down my face. For as I looked yonder toward the place whence comes the life of things, the nation's hoop and the flowering tree, I thought of the days when my relatives, now dead, were living and young, and Crazy Horse, who was our strength, that would never come back to help us any more. I cried very hard, and I thought it might be better if my crying would kill me. Then I would be in the outer world where nothing is ever in despair. And while I was crying, something was coming from the south. It looked like dust far off, but when it came closer, I saw it was a cloud of beautiful butterflies of all colors. They swarmed around me so thick that I could see nothing else. I walked backwards to the flowering stick again, And the spotted eagle on the pine tree spoke and said, Behold these, they are your people. They are in great difficulty, and you shall help them. Then I could hear all the butterflies that were swarming over me, and they were all making a pitiful, whimpering noise as though they, too, were weeping. Then they all arose and flew back into the south. Now the chicken hawk spoke from its bush and said, Behold, your grandfathers shall come forth, and you shall hear them. Hearing this, I lifted up my eyes, and there was a big storm coming from the west. It was the thunder-being nation, and I could hear the neighing of horses and the sending of great voices. It was very dark now, and all the roaring west was streaked fearfully with swift fire. And as I stood there looking, a vision broke out of the shouting blackness torn with fire, and I saw the two men who had come to me first in my great vision. They came head first like arrows slanting earthward from a long flight. And when they neared the ground, I could see the dust rising there, and out of the dust the head of dogs were peeping. Then suddenly I saw that the dust was the swarm of many-colored butterflies hovering all around and over the dogs. By now the two men were riding sorrel horses, streaked with black lightning, and they charged with bows and arrows down upon the dogs, while the thunder beings cheered for them with roaring voices. Then suddenly the butterflies changed, and were storm-driven swallows swooping and whirling in a great cloud behind the charging riders. The first of these now plunged upon a dog's head, and arose with it hanging bloody on his arrow point, and the whole west roared with cheering. The second did the same, and the black west flashed and cheered again. Then the two arose together, and I saw the dogs' heads had changed to the heads of Wasichus, and as I saw, the vision went out, and the storm was close upon me, terrible to see and roaring. I cried harder than ever now, for I was much afraid. The night was black about me, and terrible with swift fire, and the sending of great voices, and the roaring of the hail. And as I cried, I begged the grandfathers to pity me and spare me, and told them I knew now what they wanted me to do on earth, and I would do it if I could. All at once I was not afraid any more, and I thought that if I was killed, probably I might be better off in the other world. So I lay down there in the center of the sacred place, and offered the pipe again. I drew the bison robe over me and waited. All around me growled and roared the voices, and the hail was like the drums of many giants beating while the giants sang, Hey-a-hey! No hail fell there in the sacred circle where I lay, nor any rain. And when the storm was past, I raised my robe and listened, and in the stillness I could hear the rain flood singing in the gulches all around me in the darkness, and far away to the eastward there were dying voices calling, Hey, hey, hey. The night was old by now, and soon I fell asleep, but as I slept I saw my people sitting sad and troubled all around a sacred teepee, and there were many who were sick. And as I looked upon them and wept, a strange light leaped upward from the ground close by, a light of many colors sparkling with the rays that touched the heavens. When it was gone, and in the place from whence it sprang, an herb was growing, and I saw the leaves it had. And as I was looking at the herb, so that I might not forget it, there was a voice that woke me and said, Make haste, your people need you. I looked and saw the east was just beginning to turn white. Standing up, I faced the young light and began to mourn again and pray. Then the daybreak star came slowly, very beautiful and still, and all around it were the clouds of baby faces smiling at me, and the faces of people not yet born. The stars about them now were beautiful with many colors, and beneath these were the heads of men and women moving around, and birds were singing somewhere yonder, and there were horses nickering and blowing as they do when they are happy, and somewhere deer were whistling, and there were bison mooing too. What I could not see of this, I heard. I think I fell asleep again, for after a while I was startled by a voice that said, "Get up, I have come after you." I looked to see a spirit, but it was the good old man, Few Tails, standing over me, and now the sun was rising. So we brought the sacred pipe back home, and I went into the sweat lodge after offering the pipe to the six powers. When I was purified again, some very old men who were good and wise asked me to tell them what I had heard and seen. So after offering and smoking the sacred pipe again, I told it all to them, and they said I must perform the dog vision on earth to help the people, and because the people were discouraged and sad, I should do this with Heokas, who are sacred fools, doing everything wrong or backwards to make people laugh. They said they did not know, but I would be a great man, because not many men were called to see such visions. I must wait 20 days, they said, and then perform my duty. So I waited. Chapter 16. Heoka Ceremony. 20 days passed, and it was time to perform the dog vision with Heokas. But before I tell you how we did it, I will say something about Heokas and the Heoka ceremony, which seems to be very foolish, but is not so. Only those who have had visions of the thunder beings of the West can act as Heokas. They have sacred power, and they share some of it with all the people, but they do it through funny actions. When a vision comes from the thunder beings of the West, it comes with terror like a thunderstorm. But when the storm of vision has passed, the world is greener and happier, for wherever the truth of vision comes upon the world, it is like rain. The world, you see, is happier after the terror of the storm. But in the Heoka ceremony, everything is backwards, and it is planned that the people shall be made to feel jolly and happy first, so that it may be easier for the power to come to them. You have noticed that the truth comes into this world with two faces. One is sad with suffering, and the other laughs, but it is the same face, laughing or weeping. When people are already in despair, maybe the laughing face is better for them, and when they feel too good and are too sure of being safe, maybe the weeping face is better for them to see. And so I think that is what the Heoka ceremony is for. There was a man by the name of Wakpane who took charge of this ceremony for me, because he had acted as a Heoka many times and knew all about it. First he told all the people to gather in a circle on the flat near Pine Ridge, and in the center, near a sacred teepee that was set there, he placed a pot of water which was made to boil by dropping hot stones from a fire in it. First he had to make an offering of sweet grass to the West. He sat beside the fire with some sweet grass in his hand and said, "To the Great Spirit's day, to the day grown old and wise, I will make an offering." Then, as he sprinkled the grass upon the fire and the sweet smoke arose, he sang, "This I burn as an offering, behold it. A sacred praise I am making, a sacred praise I am making. My nation, behold it in kindness. The day of the sun has been my strength. The path of the moon shall be my robe. All sacred praise I am making, a sacred praise I am making." Then the dog had to be killed quickly and without making any scar, as lightning kills, for it is the power of lightning that Heokas have. Over the smoke of the sweet grass, a rawhide rope was held to make it sacred. Then two Heokas tied a slip noose on the rope and put this over the neck of the dog. 3 times they pulled the rope gently, one at each end of the rope, and the 4th time they jerked it hard, breaking the neck. Then Wakpane singed the dog and washed it well, and after that he cut away everything but the head, the spine, and the tail. Now, walking 6 steps away from the pot, one for each of the powers, he turned to the west, offering the head and spine to the thunder beings, then to the north, the east, and the south, and then to the spirit above and to Mother Earth. After this, standing where he was, 6 steps away, he faced the pot and said, "In a sacred manner I thus boil this dog." 3 times he swung it, and the 4th he threw it so that it fell head first into the boiling water. Then he took the heart of the dog and did with it just what he had done with the head and spine. During all this time, 30 Hayokas, one for each day of the moon, were doing foolish tricks among the people to make them feel jolly. They were all dressed and painted in such funny ways that everybody who saw them had to laugh. One side and I were fellow clowns. We had our bodies painted red all over and streaked with black lightning. The right sides of our head were shaved, and the hair on the left was left hanging long. This looked very funny, but it had meaning, for when we looked toward where you are always facing, the bare sides of our head were toward the west, which showed that we were humble before the thunder beings who had given us power. Each of us carried a very long bow, so long that nobody could use it, and it was very crooked, too. The arrows that we carried were very long and very crooked, so that it looked crazy to have them. We were riding sorrels with streaks of black lightning all over them, for we were to represent the 2 men of my dog vision. Wakpane now went into the sacred teepee, where he sang about the Hayokas. "These are sacred. These are sacred. They have said. They have said. These are sacred. They have said." 12 times he sang this, once for each of the moons. Afterward, while the pot was boiling, one side and I, sitting on our painted sorrels, faced the west and sang, "In a sacred manner they have sent voices. Half the universe has sent voices. In a sacred manner they have sent voices to you." Even while we were singing thus, the Hayokas were doing foolish things and making laughter. For instance, 2 Hayokas, with long crooked bows and arrows painted in a funny way, would come to a little shallow puddle of water. They would act as though they thought it was a wide, deep river that they had to cross. So making motions but saying nothing, they would decide to see how deep the river was. Taking their long, crooked arrows, they would thrust these into the water, not downwards, but flatwise, just under the surface. This would make the whole arrow wet. Standing their arrows up beside them, they would show that the water was far over their heads in depth, so they would get ready to swim. One would then plunge into the shallow puddle head first, getting his face in the mud and fighting the water wildly, as though he were drowning. Then the other one would plunge in to save his comrade, and there would be more funny antics in the water to make the people laugh. After one side and I had sung to the west, we faced the pot where the heart and the head of the dog had been boiling. With sharp pointed arrows we charged on horseback upon the pot and passed it. I had to catch the head upon my arrow, and one side had to catch the heart, for we were representing the 2 men I had seen in the vision. After we had done this, the Hayokas all chased us, trying to get a piece of the meat, and the people rushed to the pot, trying to get a piece of the sacred flesh. Ever so little of it would be good for them, for the power of the West was in it now. It was like giving them medicine to make them happier and stronger. When the ceremony was over, everybody felt a great deal better, for it had been a day of fun. They were better able now to see the greenness of the world, the wideness of the sacred day, and the colors of the earth, and to set these in their minds. The 6 grandfathers have placed in this world many things, all of which should be happy. Every little thing is sent for something, and in that thing there should be happiness and the power to make happy. like the grasses showing tender faces to each other, thus we should do, for this was the wish of the grandfathers of the world. Chapter 17. The First Cure. After the Heyoka ceremony, I came to live here where I am now between Wounded Knee Creek and Grass Creek. Others came too, and we made these little gray houses of logs that you see, and they are square. It is a bad way to live, for there can be no power in a square. You have noticed that everything an Indian does is in a circle, and that is because the power of the world always works in circles, and everything tries to be round. In the old days, when we were a strong and happy people, all our power came to us from the sacred hoop of the nation, and so long as the hoop was unbroken, the people flourished. The flowering tree was the living center of the hoop, and the circle of the four quarters nourished it. The east gave peace and light, the south gave warmth, the west gave rain, and the north with its cold and mighty wind gave strength and endurance. This knowledge came to us from the outer world with our religion. Everything the power of the world does is done in a circle. The sky is round, and I have heard that the earth is round like a ball, and so are all the stars. The wind in its greatest power whirls. Birds make their nests in circles, for theirs is the same religion as ours. The sun comes forth and goes down again in a circle. The moon does the same, and both are round. Even the seasons form a great circle in their changing, and always come back again to where they were. The life of a man is a circle from childhood to childhood, and so it is in everything where power moves. Our tepees were round like nests of birds, and these were always set in a circle, the nation's hoop, and a nest of many nests where the Great Spirit meant for us to hatch our children. But the Wasichus have put us in these square boxes. Our power is gone, and we are dying, for the power is not in us any more. You can look at our boys and see how it is with us. When we were living by the power of the circle in the way we should, boys were men at 12 or 13 years of age, but now it takes them very much longer to mature. Well, it is as it is. We are prisoners of war while we are waiting here, but there is another world. It was in the moon of shedding ponies when we had the Heyoka ceremony. One day in the moon of fatness, when everything was blooming, I invited one side to come over and eat with me. I had been thinking about the four-rayed herb that I had now seen twice, the first time in the great vision when I was 9 years old, and the second time when I was lamenting on the hill. I knew that I must have this herb for curing, and I thought I could recognize the place where I had seen it growing that night when I lamented. After one side and I had eaten, I told him there was an herb I must find, and I wanted him to help me hunt for it. Of course I did not tell him I had seen it in a vision. He was willing to help, so we got on our horses and rode over to Grass Creek. Nobody was living over there. We came to the top of a high hill above the creek, and there we got off our horses and sat down, for I felt that we were close to where I saw the herb growing in my vision of the dog. Then we sat there a while singing together some Heyoka songs. Then I began to sing alone a song I had heard in my first great vision. In a sacred manner, they are sending voices. After I had sung this song, I looked down towards the west, and yonder at a certain spot behind the creek were crows and magpies, chicken hawks and spotted eagles circling round and round. Then I knew, and I said to one side, "Friend, right there is where the herb is growing." He said, "We shall go forth and see." So we got on our horses and rode down Grass Creek until we came to a dry gulch, and this we followed up. As we neared the spot, the birds all flew away, and it was a place where 4 or 5 dry gulches came together. There, right on the side of the bank, the herb was growing, and I knew it, although I had never seen one like it before, except in my vision. It had a root about as long as to my elbow, and this was a little thicker than my thumb. It was flowering in four colors, blue, white, red, and yellow. We got off our horses, and after I had offered the red willow bark to the six powers, I made a prayer to the herb and said to it, "Now we shall go forth to the two-leggeds, but only the weakest ones, and there shall be happy days among the weak." It was easy to dig the herb, because it was growing in the edge of the clay gulch. Then we started back with it. When we came to Grass Creek again, we wrapped it up in some good sage that was growing there. Something must have told me to find the herb just then, for the next evening I needed it and could have done nothing without it. I was eating supper when a man by the name of Cuts to Pieces came in, and he was saying, "Hey, hey, hey," for he was in trouble. I asked him what was the matter, and he said, "I have a boy of mine, and he is very sick, and I am afraid he will die soon. He has been sick a long time. They say you have great power from the horse dance and the Hayoka ceremony, and maybe you can save him for me. I think so much of him." I told Cuts to Pieces that if he really wanted help, he should go home and bring me back a pipe with an eagle feather on it. While he was gone, I thought about what I had to do, and I was afraid, because I had never cured anybody yet with my power, and I was very sorry for Cuts to Pieces. I prayed hard for help. When Cuts to Pieces came back with the pipe, I told him to take it around to the left of me, leave it there, and pass out again to the right of me. When he had done this, I sent for One Side to come and help. Then I took the pipe and went to where the sick little boy was. My father and mother went with us, and my friend Standing Bear was already there. I first offered the pipe to the six powers, then I passed it and we all smoked. After that I began making a rumbling thunder sound on the drum. You know, when the power of the West comes to the two-leggeds, it comes with rumbling, and when it has passed, everything lifts up his head and is glad, and there is greenness. So I made this rumbling sound. Also, the voice of the drum is an offering to the spirit of the world. Its sound arouses the mind and makes men feel the mystery and power of things. The sick little boy was on the northeast side of the teepee, and when we entered at the south, we went around from left to right, stopping on the west side when we had made the circle. You want to know why we always go from left to right like that? I can tell you something of the reason, but not all. Think of this. Is not the south the source of life, and does not the flowering stick truly come from there? And does not man advance from there toward the setting sun of his life? Then does he not approach the colder north where the white hairs are? And does he not then arrive, if he lives, to the source of light and understanding, which is the East? Then does he not return to where he began, to his second childhood, there to give back his life to all life and his flesh to the earth whence it came? The more you think about this, the more meaning you will see in it. As I said, we went round into the teepee, from left to right, and sat ourselves down on the west side. The sick little boy was on the northeast side, and he looked as though he were only skin and bones. I had the pipe, the drum, and the four-rayed herb already, so I asked for a wooden cup full of water and an eagle bone whistle, which was for the spotted eagle of my great vision. They placed the cup of water in front of me, and then I had to think a while, because I had never done this before, and I was in doubt. I understood a little more now, so I gave the eagle bone whistle to One Side and told him how to use it in helping me. Then I filled the pipe with red willow bark and gave it to the pretty young daughter of Cuts to Pieces, telling her to hold it just as I had seen the Virgin of the East holding it in my great vision. Everything was ready now, so I made low thunder on the drum, keeping time as I sent forth a voice, Four times I cried, "Hey-a-hey," drumming as I cried to the spirit of the world, and while I was doing this I could feel the power coming through me from my feet up, and I knew I could help the sick little boy. I kept on sending a voice, while I made low thunder on the drum, saying, "My grandfather, Great Spirit, you are the only one, and to no other can anyone send voices. You have made everything, they say, and you have made it good and beautiful. The four quarters and the two roads crossing each other you have made. Also you have set a power where the sun goes down. The two leggeds on earth are in despair. For them, my grandfather, I send a voice to you. You have said this to me, 'The weak shall walk.' In vision you have taken me to the center of the world, and there you have shown me the power to make over. The water in the cup that you have given me, by its power the dying live. The herb that you have shown me, through its power shall the feeble walk upright. From where we are always facing, behold, a virgin shall appear, walking the good red road, offering the pipe as she walks, and hers also is the power of the flowering tree. From where the giant lives, you have given me a sacred cleansing wind, and where this wind passes, the weak shall have strength. You have said this to me, to you and to all your powers, and to Mother Earth, I send a voice for help." You see, I had never done this before, and I know now that only one power would have been enough. But I was so eager to help the sick little boy that I called on every power there is. I had been facing the west, of course, while sending a voice, and now I walked to the north and to the east and to the south, stopping there where the source of all life is, and where the good red road begins. Standing there, I sang thus, "In a sacred manner I have made them walk. A sacred nation lies low. In a sacred manner I have made them walk. A sacred two-legged, he lies low. In a sacred manner he shall walk." While I was singing this, I could feel something queer all through my body, something that made me want to cry for all unhappy things, and there were tears on my face. Now I walked to the quarter of the west, where I lit the pipe, offered it to the powers, and after I'd taken a whiff of smoke, I passed it around. When I looked at the little sick boy again, he smiled at me, and I could feel that the power was getting stronger. I next took the cup of water, drank a little of it, and went around to where the little sick boy was. Standing before him, I stamped the earth four times, and then putting my mouth to the pit of his stomach, I drew through him the cleansing wind of the north. I next chewed some of the herb and put it in the water, afterward blowing some of it on the boy and the four quarters. The cup with the rest of the water I gave to the virgin, who gave it to the sick little boy to drink. Then I told the virgin to help the boy stand up and to walk around the circle with him, beginning at the south, the source of life. He was very poor and weak, but with the virgin's help he did this. Then I went away. Next day, Cuts to Pieces came and told me that his little boy was feeling better, and he was sitting up and could eat something again. In 4 days he could walk around. He got well and lived to be 30 years old. Cuts to Pieces gave me a good horse for doing this, but of course I would have done it for nothing. When the people heard about how the little boy was cured, many came to me for help, and I was busy most of the time. This was in the summer of my 19th year, in the moon of making fat. Chapter 18. The Powers of the Bison and the Elk. I think I have told you, but if I have not, you must have understood, that a man who has a vision is not able to use the power of it until after he has performed the vision on earth for the people to see. You remember that my great vision came to me when I was only 9 years old, and you have seen that I was not much good for anything until after I had performed the horse dance near the mouth of the Tongue River during my 18th summer. And if the great fear had not come upon me, as it did, and forced me to do my duty, I might have been less good to the people than some man who had never dreamed at all, even with the memory of so great a vision in me. But the fear came, and if I had not obeyed it, I am sure it would have killed me in a little while. It was even then only after the Heyoka ceremony, in which I performed my dog vision, that I had the power to practice as a medicine man, curing sick people. And many I cured with the power that came through me. Of course, it was not I who cured. It was the power from the outer world, and the visions and ceremonies had only made me like a hole through which the power could come to the two-leggeds. If I thought I was doing it myself, the hole would close up and no power could come through. Then everything I could do would be foolish. There were other parts of my great vision that I still had to perform before I could use the power that was in those parts. If you think about my vision again, you will remember how the red man turned into a bison and rolled, and that the people found the good red road after that. If you will read again what is written, you will see how it was. To use the power of the bison, I had to perform that part of my vision for the people to see. It was during the summer of my first cure that this was done. I carried the pipe to Fox Belly, a wise and good old medicine man, and asked him to help me do this duty. He was glad to help me, but first I had to tell him how it was in that part of my vision. I did not tell him all my vision, only that part. I never told anyone all of it, and even until now no one ever heard it all. Even my old friend Standing Bear and my son here have heard it now for the first time when I have told it to you. Of course, there was very much in the vision that even I cannot tell when I try hard, because very much of it was not for words. But I have told what can be told. It has made me very sad to do this at last. And I have lain awake at night worrying and wondering if I was doing right, for I know I have given away my power when I have given away my vision, and maybe I cannot live very long now. But I think I have done right to save the vision in this way, even though I may die sooner because I did it, for I know the meaning of the vision is wise and beautiful and good. And you can see that I am only a pitiful old man after all. Well, I told Foxbelly all that he needed to know, that he might help me. And when he had heard even so little, he said, "My boy, you had a great vision, and I can see that it is your duty to help the people walk the red road in a manner pleasing to the powers." This ceremony was not a long one, but it had great meaning because it made a picture of the relation between the people and the bison, and the power was in the meaning. First, we made a sacred place like a bison wallow at the center of the nation's hoop, and there we set up the sacred teepee. Inside this, we made the circle of the four quarters. Across the circle from south to north, we painted a red road, and Fox Belly made little bison tracks all along on both sides of it, meaning that the people should walk there with the power of endurance of the bison, facing the great white cleansing wind of the world. Also, he placed at the north end of the road the cup of water, which is the gift of the West, so that the people, while leaning against the great wind with the endurance of bison, would be going toward the water of life. I was painted red all over like the man of my vision before he turned into a bison. I wore bison horns, and on the left horn hung a piece of the daybreak star herb, which bears the four-rayed flower of understanding.